I want to welcome you and thank you for allowing me into your ears and hearts. I'd like to ask now that the Lord would come and be our teacher. Shall we pray? Father, your words are strong and mighty. Your word, a living word, so we know when we hear it, you are speaking. It's not just a fossil. We want to hear you. And so we ask that you would come and break apart any hard places in our hearts. We're asking that you would come and be our teacher. And Father, I ask that I might decrease and you increase, so your people hear, know, and are changed. Father, we ask your glory in this time around your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read the passage, I'd like to introduce, give you a platform, give you a context. I'm not going to just do an exposition of the word. I'm going to do an application of the word. Those are actually two different things. And there are many ways to apply the word. I'm going to do that out of 2 Philippians, the second chapter of Philippians. And hopefully, as I introduce it and then read the passage and take us through that, it'll help you to get a handle on where you are in this world and maybe assuage some of the fears you have about being in the world and not of the world. I like to entitle my sermons, and this one I've entitled The Long, Slow Hello. It's something my wife got me thinking about. It's about being fully present in your world with the people the Lord exposes you to and you to them. Being invested and lavish with your time in the places with people, Jesus style. When you minimize exposure to the people around you, the world, and you minimize that investment for whatever reasons, it's a critical fail. The devil wants us to believe that we must quarantine ourselves for the sake of our own purity and peace, to assuage our fears. We don't want to get neighbor all over us. Impurity doesn't creep in because our neighbor is unbelieving, but because we're unbelieving. I know that's hard to hear, but it's glorious. That fear we have of our neighbor and the world around us is not really about God. It's about our fear and our comfort. This is really in stark contrast to the way things were in the early church. Let me tell you a little bit about that, a little broad scope here. Did you know that the estimated number of Christians by 150 AD was 40,000. Okay, 40,000. And that with persecution. And here it comes. By 180, 30 years later, they broke 100,000. Just 30 years later. How many people here are 30, over 30? That's within the scope of time you can remember. By 200, it was 280,000 or 18,000. By 250 AD, it was 1.7 million. 215 years after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Just 215. I can name my progenitors back that far. I know who my great-great-grandfather was. In just that period of time, 1.7 million of us. In just 200 years, Christianity became the dominant faith in the Roman Empire. And now remember, in 250 AD, Christianity was still illegal. It endured systematized, empire-wide, severe persecution and martyrdom. The Circus Maximus, the Colosseum, those were built in about 110 AD. Think about it. You risked your life going to church or telling your neighbor about Jesus. So how did this come about? How could you have that kind of explosive growth? Did they have an army of seminary-trained evangelists? No. In fact, the Romans were very efficient and effective at decapitation, getting rid of the leaders of the church. Paul and Peter fell in the same year, 64, under the Neronian persecutions. Was it because the Christians had really kick-butt gospel tracts? Just like really clear and really in your face? No. There were no printing presses and no letterbox drops. So what then? Christianity spread like a virus. Are you noticing a theme here anywhere? Do you know how a virus spreads? No, I won't make a joke about Victoria. There, I just made a joke about Victoria. Contact. More precisely, the right amount of contact and the right kind of contact. In fact, it's so easy it became pandemic. I'd call 1.7 million people pandemic. The contrast between the Christian Paul talks about in Philippians 2 and the idea that has swept across us and, shall I say, infected us in the evangelical culture today is very much the difference between exposure and how we engage. Paul tells us what that looks like here in Philippians 2. And it doesn't involve a seminary degree or a huge amount of specialized training or how-to books. It's just about how you are. And that can be really loud. Let's hear the word of God. Philippians 2. I want you to listen very carefully because this is God's word. Therefore, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. goodness, love, selflessness, mercy, compassion, humility. These things are velvet thunder in a world that knows very different things than that. They're velvet thunder in the presence of your neighbor. Listen to where it comes from. Have this same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Didn't say which was in Christ Jesus, which is now presently. Have this same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be gained, but rather emptied himself, making himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out or operate out of your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works or operates in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I want you to land on this last verse. For it is God who works or operates in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Let's call this Jesus with skin on. This having this same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Bea and I have a number of places that we spend time with the people God has brought into our lives. We meet up with those folks right in the middle of the people who don't yet know Jesus. You know, the Grand Central Station of people who don't know Jesus. It can be a fearful place, but you don't have to be afraid. You just don't have to be afraid. Places where the contrast between Christ and the world is perhaps the loudest. In my case, it's a couple of different pubs. B has an art studio that's always open. And boy, the art world is a contrast. Let me tell you. It could be a coffee shop, it could be a cafe. It's about proximity and regular, sustained exposure. Places that you have a reason to be, and having Jesus-soaked conversations all out in the open, not behind closed doors, just way out there. Places not threatening to a not-yet believer. Did you hear what I said? A not-yet believer? Too easily we condemn people to being apart from God. We don't know what God is doing in them. And he brought you into their midst. And you're an ambassador. Think about that. God's showing up. He doesn't show up for nothing. Getting Jesus all over them is what's being described here in verses 5 through 11. Those places are not just scenery or backdrop for life. The people that are all around you aren't white noise to be tuned out. They have ears and they have eyes. They have broken hearts, and you have Jesus. In fact, you are Jesus with skin on. Incarnate. Because the last verse is going to say, He is at work in you, operating in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He shows up. That's Jesus with skin on. Have this same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For it is God who is at work in you, and by extension, through you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. What's God's will and good pleasure? That any should perish? No. He's invested. In fact, He's so invested, He went to a cross. He's so invested that He came into the world and subjected Himself to the law, to every unkindness and indignity. I call that invested. I call that completely invested, ultimately invested. Think of it. Those people that you go to in those places, regularly, sustained exposure, those people are being regularly exposed to Christianity, not just an idea of Christianity. The same staff each time. How often do you get a captive audience like that outside of church? And they're willing participants with eyes and ears, and they're cool with that. Because you're doing life with them. They can choose to tune you out, or because God is the one that's at work, they can't not hear you, and then they can't forget. You see, that's how secure all this is. And you don't have to ask the question, well, which one of these people are going to hell and which one are going to heaven? That's not your business. That's God's business. All you have to do is show up. And like Tom Hanks would say, about that time God did show up. That exposure can turn into conversation. Because there's familiarity, because it's sustained. It happens often. You just show up. That familiarity. And maybe because they heard something in the power of the Holy Spirit, it opens them up to relationship, and then look out, you planted a seed. And you don't have to worry about it growing. He's going to bring somebody along to water that. It's going to grow because it's the Spirit that's bringing the energy. I'm going to talk about that word in a minute because you heard the word work a lot in here. That's the word ergon. I'll talk about that in a minute. The Holy Spirit is at work. He opens up relationships. The rest is God's business in and through you for His good pleasure. I think some years ago I shared something that happened that was just out of the blue, and it surprised me. It started getting me thinking about this even way back then. But I may have told you about meeting this young bloke in a pub. I'd been mentoring one of those young men for leadership in our church at Fremantle Church. And I went to the loo. Yeah, it's one of those stories. I went to the loo, and a young bloke that I'd never met, he just asked me straight out, just like he kind of knew me. He asked me straight out, why is the world the way it is? Why is all this stuff happening around us? And he was so comfortable asking that question. regular exposure. He got a whiff of Jesus, which is ironic because we were in a loo. The conversations that were going on. And you know, people in a pub, you can hear everything in there. You don't have to worry about, you know, well, is somebody going to be offended? It's a pub. Nobody gets offended about everything. And they get offended about everything. So you're just there fitting in. God prompted him to speak. A seed got planted. I just got the privilege of sharing Christ with him in the loo of all places. Bia's conversations in her studio, you would not believe. And how they come around to Christ in a place you would never expect a conversation about Christ to come. These are people God gathers. And it's God who is at work in and by extension through us for his good pleasure. We are not especially gifted evangelists. I'll be the first person to tell you. I do Hebrew verbs really good, but not especially great at evangelism. We just show up regularly. It is God's great pleasure to seek and to save and to work in and through us. Just talking about life through the lens of the word, not politics or frippery. That exposes them to the beauty and the power of Jesus. Just being of the same mind as Christ Jesus in the power of God and trusting Jesus to show up in the power of his Spirit, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, all of that sounds like it's God doing the hard work. We just do the easy work. Why do we make it so hard? Fear. That's the devil's greatest weapon. That's why he barks so loud, because it makes us afraid. He's on a short chain. That's what the word tells us. That's what binding the strong man does. Puts him on a short leash. You ought to be able to rock that a little bit. We want God's presence in us to leave the perfume of Jesus in those places of exposure. In how we are, what we do, and what we say. We want those who are exposed to see and hear and smell Jesus all over us in their midst. And you know, it's a promise that they do hear and see and think about it in God's good pleasure. In God's good pleasure. And he says, our good pleasure is that's a great thing, but it doesn't actually make anything work. It's God's good pleasure that makes things work. That takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? You just show up. My old Baptist preacher mentor called this your Christian testimony. I still like that word. It's not popular in the circles I run in, but your Christian testimony, how you are, speaks volume. It's velvet thunder. It testifies to the work God has done in you. These are divine appointments. Somehow my wife and I come into their lives and they into ours just because we show up. It's a long, slow hello. It's where the love of God can embrace and engage in a lived out gospel in the world, but not of the world, Jesus style. Have this same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For it is God who works in you, and by extension through you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He doesn't hide us with whispered, covert faith. There's a word he uses here when he says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Does anybody, does that scare you when you hear that? It used to scare the bejeebers out of me. I was just, what do I got to do? Is there something if I don't do, you know, I'm going to be totally hosed? No. The word he uses there to work out is the word operate. Something's happening. And it's he that's doing it. And the word there is ergo. It's the word that we get ergonomic, energy, urge. What's your urge? What's the energy you have? How does it work? God is expending energy to do work, not just in the bubble of our personal quiet experience, but he shows up for everyone around you like a perfume spilled out and going into the nostrils of those who see and hear, whose lives you touch. And you just have to have this same mind, which is also in Christ Jesus. In a short 13 verses, he gives you an entire culture that helps you to engage the world around you. Just read it over and over and over again. The working out in fear and trembling, the working out is just what you do when you go to the gym. What do you do when you go to the gym? You work, don't you? So why do they call it working out? Because it's going somewhere. It doesn't just sit there in a static position. It goes somewhere. If you're saved, it does something. Having this same mind, which is also in Christ Jesus. It can seem frightful, a frightful thing to show up regularly among particular people, as Jesus with skin on. But you don't have to be afraid because, and listen carefully, beloved of God, listen carefully. You have the Father, in this passage it says it specifically, you have the Father at work in and through you in them. Okay, that would be good enough right there. I'd be satisfied with that. But he doesn't stop there. You have in you Christ Jesus. Okay, that's a dynamic duo. But it says there's a fellowship of the Spirit. You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in you, working out for his good pleasure. And we know what his good pleasure is, don't you? To seek and save that which is lost. You cannot lose. How would you like to start out a rugby season that way? We know what the outcome's going to be. We're just going to show up. You know, we know what's going to happen. That's the way it is with God and your neighbor. You are a shining, bright, beautiful trophy of God's grace before a watching world. And your exposure of the mind of Christ in you through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is velvet thunder. Somebody's listening and getting to know you Amen? Let's pray. Father, we await your great mercy. We engage with great hope and assurance. We believe. Help our unbelief. We want to serve you, but we're afraid. We don't want to offend. Father, we pray that this living word will sweep over us and through us and give us that great hope and ergon energy to be fully present, fully engaged in velvet thunder. Father, would you do that in and through us for your good pleasure? Amen.